Dear brothers and sisters, Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit." A tree deeply rooted by water is always abundantly supplied. Even in extreme heat or during a drought, it remains lush with green leaves and continues to bear abundant fruit. Similarly, believers who deeply root themselves in God, the ultimate source of all blessings, need not fear any hardships or sufferings in the world. When we abide in God and walk in the truth, we can overcome all trials by faith. The politics is confusing and the economy is in recession. When we hear such news, are you anxious? Or are you believing in the God who protects you? Because of the protector, you are peaceful. But still, you pray for our politics and for economy. It's our role. But that doesn't mean we have to be anxious, we have to be angry like the worldly people. Why? Because we have our God, the Creator. We know that He is living and He is our Father. Whatever happens, whatever hardships that faces us, when we live out of Word, we are kept safe. We are protected. That's why we are in peace. We are not envious of any worldly power or wealth because we believe we are God's children and citizens of heaven. Through refinement, we align with God's will and receive even greater blessings on this earth. Whether at home, work, or elsewhere, God's loving hand is with us, offering care and favor. We receive blessings in our comings and goings and become the head and not the tail. And God enables us to lend rather than borrow, protects us from sicknesses and accidents, and even allows people who are with us, to be blessed. Once you are loved by God, people around you will, like your family members, your brothers, can be blessed because of you. The typical example is Abraham. As Abraham received tremendous blessings, his nephew Lot was blessed because of Abraham's, for Abraham's sake. Because their blessings were too big, they had to separate. And the nephew Lot chose the better land in his eyes. The land was fertile, but as he left, separated from God, he faced trials and tribulations. But even at this point, God considered Abraham and rescued his nephew Lot from big tribulations. Once you are loved by God, even your family members, wherever you are, your workplace or business, also receive blessing. This is the blessing of the righteous. We are already on to the sixth blessing of the Beatitudes. If these blessings come upon you, you will continually experience the abundant blessings of God. May the message of the Beatitudes shared today become spiritual nourishment and life to you. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will become truly blessed children of God. Dear brothers and sisters, today we'll be looking at the sixth blessing of the Beatitudes, the blessing of the pure in heart. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8 tells us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The word pure literally means clean and clear. But having a pure heart does not simply mean being holy on the outside with good manners or knowledge. let's say you have clean body and you make your surroundings, your house clean. It's not just about that kind of cleanliness. Also, it's not just about acting in holy ways with common sense and knowledge. Even though people call you polite and nice, even though people say that, that doesn't mean you are truly pure. It means being sanctified with no sin in the heart. It's not just being holy on the outside. It's not being pretending to be holy on the outside, but you have to be sanctified in the heart. In Jesus' time, the Pharisees claimed to be holy, and also people looked at the Pharisees and considered them holy with their physical eyes. They found them to be holy, and the Pharisees prided themselves on their great love for God. So they taught people to love God as they did. But while they recited God's word, fasted frequently, and meticulously calculated even the smallest tithe, they didn't cast up sins in the heart. Of course, it's important to calculate the, but it's, you don't have to calculate. You can just abundantly give tithes. But the Pharisees prided themselves on, and they were seeking people's praise. They wanted their good deeds to be known. That's why they looked holy on the outside. The Pharisees added extra rules to God's word and diligently followed them, considering themselves pure and holy. One of their rules dictated that eating food with unwashed hands is unclean before God. Following this rule, they always ate with washed hands. But when they saw Jesus' disciples eating with unwashed hands, they sought to rebuke them. But what did Jesus say? He declared that it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 through 20 tells us, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart." It's not talking about vomiting. What does that mean? "And those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Let's say you hate someone, you are envious of jealousy of someone, and you gossip about them. But it's actually the hatred in your heart. Such hatred is manifested as the gossips or such words. It's not just about the words, but your deeds, your evil deeds, they come from the sins and evil from the heart. Those evil is manifested as these. No matter how clean someone appears, no matter how clean someone appears outwardly by refining their appearance and actions, God, who sees the heart, is not pleased with this alone. God desires those who rid their hearts of sin, lawlessness, and unrighteousness, achieving a holy and pure heart. A person with a pure heart will naturally keep their body and surroundings clean as well. Your surroundings and your... Just because you keep your surroundings clean, that's not all. The more important thing is your heart. You have to make your heart clean. Then your body and your surrounding also Some people claim that they will go to heaven if it exists as they live a good life without harming others. They believe they don't need to attend church or believe in Jesus as they think they have no sin. But no one who refuses to believe in the Lord has a pure heart before God. Everyone is born with original sin inherited from Adam and sinful natures passed down from their parents and ancestors. Even those who strive to live virtuously are still sinners when measured against God's word, who is the truth itself. Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, not even one." From a worldly perspective, being sinless is not having caused anyone harm or broken any laws. This is the standards of the world. They say, "I have no sin," even while they have evil in their heart. Once they don't violate something, they don't consider themselves a sinner or sinful. For example, some may believe that if they don't act on hateful thoughts and desires, such as wanting to strike or kill someone, they are not guilty of sin. In their heart, they desire others to be cursed. They curse others in their heart. But worldly people don't consider that a sin. But let's say someone is really cursed, then if they have a conscience, they would have a qualms of conscience because they cursed him. He is in trouble. He's in cursed. But when that person has harassed them, or bothered them, they would rejoice over their curse, would be happy about their curse. This is bitterly evil. Not only did they curse that person, but they rejoiced over his curse, and they don't consider themselves sinful or but is that not a sin? Is that not evil? That's why if you don't believe in God, if we don't believe in the Lord, even while we are filled with the sins and evil, we don't know that it is a sin. How regrettable this is. That's why on the day of judgment, even though you claim you have no sin, God would show everything on the crystal sea, in the glass sea on the heaven. There are people gossip before, have many evil acts. They spread false rumors and slander others and putting others into trouble. How great many people. But once they don't violate the national laws or something, they don't consider themselves a sinful. Even though they don't consider themselves as sinful or evil. They forget about that. There are many kinds of sins and evil. But on the judgment day, everything is revealed. Everything is revealed and everything is seen. So no one can. So they can never deny that they have no sin. However, God considers even hovering evil thoughts as sin, declaring this heart unclean. You come to church and you find out what our sins are, what evil are. You feel embarrassed. You feel heartbroken about that. You may think, have you ever thought that unbelievers are peaceful because they don't know they're sinners? It's not that they're peaceful because they don't know their sins. They don't get a chance to repent because they live as prey to the enemy devil and live in trials and tribulations, and they have no idea why they have in trouble. So they are pitiful ones. So if we know we are sinners and we are stay vigilant against sins, of course, this takes a little bit of effort, but Once we become clean and purified, we are always protected by God who is the light. And moreover, we can receive blessings of whatever we ask in prayer, we receive answer. And if, but some of you, you lament because you're a sinner, because you have to be more for that. You know, worldly people, they proudly live even as they commit sins. You don't have to be envious of them, but they are, you have to know that they are pitiful ones. Even though you know we are sins, we are thankful that even God's Word analyzes our heart in depth and allows us to even the minute details of evil. This is the walking the narrow way. Of course, it's right, but it's not that we have to be, while walking that way, we recover the lost image of God. We come closer and closer to Father God. So this is a blessing. This is not suffering loss. Hatred in your heart. People have much hatred in their heart. They have, once someone harasses them or does something displeasing, or when someone is better than themselves, they become envious and jealousy. Their hatred is stirred up, and their envy and jealousy are stirred up, and they, such, when they have such evil in the heart, even while they commit sins, you know, worldly people don't consider that a sin, but God calls that sin, and this considers them a great sin. Hatred in the 1 John chapter 3 verse 15 tells us, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And Matthew chapter 5 verse 28 says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in the heart. The evil in the heart, sinful natures in the heart, they are great sins, God says. When a person has even a little bit of greed, pride, falsehood, envy, jealousy, or anger, his heart is already impure, even if it's not revealed in his actions. God desires his children to cast off not only outward sins, but also sins of the heart, achieving purity. Matthew chapter 5 verse 48 tells us, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says, because it is written, you shall be holy for I am holy. Those prone to argue and get angry must cast off their hot temper and become gentle. The proud must humble themselves and serve, and those with hatred, envy, or jealousy must learn to love even their enemies. As they cast off sins and evil and fill it with the truth, they grow in purity. Simply having God's word as mere knowledge is meaningless, no matter how great the knowledge. For instance, a dusty podium becomes clean only after you wipe it with a cloth. Let's say this podium is dusty, it's covered with dust. You just pick up cloth and wipe it to make it clean. But simply noticing that there is dust and leaving the cloth untouched changes nothing. It cannot make the podium clean. No matter how much time passes, it will still remain dirty. Similarly, hearing God's word without acting on it has no effect. Only by taking to heart, obeying it, putting it into practice, can we transform into people with pure and clean hearts. But people, after they listen to a sermon, they receive grace. How much do they engrave it in their heart? First thing we have to do is to engrave it in our hearts. How much do we remember and engrave the word? It feels like while we listen to sermon, we understand everything, we discover everything, but people quickly forget many of them. So once they receive grace through the sermon, they have to repeatedly listen, and they have to discover and remember, and themselves, they have to engrave the word in their hearts. They have to make sure to remember. There are ways to do that. Remember the word. You have to keep in your heart, hold on to them in prayer, and you have to discover the sins that you will discover through the word and pray to cast them off, and that's not enough. And also in your everyday life, you have to keep the word in your heart, and you have to figure out the sinful natures and evil attributes and to think about them. Ultimately, you can change your deeds with those efforts. So you remove sins and evil and replace it with truth and goodness. So even if we desire to cast off sins and have a clean heart, we cannot change our hearts on our own. Romans chapter 7 verses 22 through 24 tells us, "For I joyfully conquer with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" This reflects the inner struggle, a desire to reject sin and follow the truth, versus a desire for sin and makes it difficult to let go. These conflicting desires lead to distress and agony. To forsake sin requires us to receive strength from God. It is not possible with human strength and will alone. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 says, "For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." But to draw on God's power, we must first strive with our own will to live according to His word. You just say, "God, please give me strength to cast off." That's not enough. You need to have the desire and resolve to cast it off. So with that resolve, you receive the word and receive grace. And with that resolve, you pray fervently. You only through the fervent prayer, you just draw on God's power and help from the Holy Spirit. You bring them down. You need the grace of the Holy Spirit and grace of the Father God, and your resolve and your efforts. These things have to go together to transform yourself. But some people say, "Father God, give me strength to pray." Prayer is, you can do on your own. And cast off fleshly deeds and these can be stopped on your own. Like watching untruthful things on your smartphone, then you can throw away smartphone and get some old-fashioned, old model phone. There are things you can do on your own, and then you realize how dirty and ugly they are, and even though you don't do what you can do, you just ask God to help you do things. Like, it's like saying, "Father God, please help me eat meal." Once the meal table is prepared, you have to pick up your spoon and eat it. But if you refuse to eat it, you'll just die. If you don't even pick up your spoon, you ultimately die. But you can pick up your spoon on your own and put it in your mouth. So you can ask God's help. Like, "Please, Father, help me digest well." But there are things you have to do on your own. After that, you have to ask for God's help. So our resolve, our own efforts are also important. Sometimes Sometimes your efforts, your own efforts, are very important. To bring down power and grace, you also need resolve and efforts. And as we continue to follow the truth, our actions become holy and sinful natures within our hearts are cast off, leading to a pure heart. Brothers and sisters, what blessings will we receive when we have a pure heart, one that is clean and clear, through God's word and prayer? Today's passage says, they shall see God. Don't you want to see God? If you love God and the Lord, it is natural to want to see Him. How joyful would it be to see our Heavenly Father, speak with Him, and be held in His embrace? Even on this earth, we miss our Father. Even in heaven, we miss His face. We want to see Him. But as I explained, but even on earth and heaven, just because you are saved doesn't mean you can see His face, even in heaven. To be qualified to see God, you have to, as much as you become pure in heart. Anyway, even though you have shortcomings, you have to long for such a level. In Judges chapter 13, verses 22, we find that Manoah, Samson's father, saw the angel of the Lord and said, "We will surely die, for we have seen God." Even after seeing the angel, he said that. John chapter 1, verse 18 also tells us, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him." It states that no one has seen God. This is correct. A sinful person cannot see God. God's original entity can be seen only after we go to heaven. Even then, it is not those who are in the paradise or in the first or second kingdom, but only the citizens of New Jerusalem who will see God. But even on earth, there are times we encounter our Heavenly Father. While we do not see God's original entity on His heavenly throne, He meets us through His Spirit and allows us to see His form. Even though we don't see His original entity, and so when He covers His light and comes, makes His presence on earth, you know, some people can see, there were some people who saw Him. Exodus chapter 33 verse 11 says, "Thus the Lord is used to speak to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend." When God manifested His presence on earth, in the Exodus, God manifested His presence among the people, and what He was about to do, the Israelites were, the Israelites didn't want God to speak to him directly because they were afraid. This is because the Israelites, they feared God. Even though they feared God, the Israelites, even they didn't want God to speak directly to them. They wanted Moses to speak to God and deliver God's word to them. How regrettable this is. Because they had sinned and evil, they did so. When God manifested His presence, the Israelites couldn't even dare approach near Him. And they didn't want to listen to Him directly. And they just wanted Moses to speak to Him. And while Moses was meeting God on the Mount Sinai, the Israelites were not even allowed to approach near it. Because this is what happens if we have sins and evil. But what about Moses? They were able to see God. Similarly, Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and it's highly unlikely that God, who loved Enoch so much, did not reveal himself to him. Why do some people believe they cannot see God, or that seeing him would lead to death, while others even speak to him face to face or walk with him? The answer is in today's passage. Those with a pure heart can see God, while those whose hearts are defiled by sin and evil cannot. Third John chapter 1 verse 11 says, "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God." Though it is not Father God's original entity on His heavenly throne, but His Spirit that is on earth. I mean, when you have purity, when you follow goodness, this can. I mean, just the seeing His Spirit, even though it is not His original entity, it is still a blessing. This is not only the joy of seeing our loving Father, but also because God will not appear before His pure-hearted children empty-handed. Once God is pleased with some church and He manifests His presence at that church, to even when He makes His presence, even when His Spirit appears, Father God, mostly He stays on His throne, but on special occasions, He comes down to the earth. There were moments when He came down, but this is not common. This is only special occasion. But when He comes down to His church, to church that He loves, to church, to some children whom He's pleased with, He doesn't come empty-handed. He comes with tremendous blessings and answers. Once you are in that place, you are also blessed together. Our sanctuary should become that place, become pleasing to Father God. Once you've cast off sins and have achieved a completely pure heart, you are not just blessed at one point. As you daily walk, as I told you, once God, sometimes He hides some of His light and comes, but even this does not happen often. And as you daily walk with God like Enoch, you receive abundant blessings that fill your each day with testimonies and gratitude. Seeing God means that it's not just about having our spiritual eyes opened and experiencing His presence, but in our life, we can feel God accompanying us. And thus, seeing God from today's passage doesn't just refer to seeing Him with our spiritual eyes, but experiencing Him through answered prayers. Namely, it means meeting and experiencing God. When you testify, "I have met the living God," it doesn't necessarily mean you've seen God with your own eyes. Seeing God is not just about having your spiritual eyes open and seeing His spiritual form and accompanying Him. And God accompanying Him doesn't just only mean that God is physically with you, but it also refers to God blessing you and guiding your steps. Such blessings are also included in the blessings of seeing God. So when you testify, "I've met the living God," it doesn't necessarily mean you've seen God with your own eyes. It means experiencing the voice of God who responds to His children with His great power and divinity. Jeremiah chapter 29 verses 20, 12 and 13 tells us, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God has clearly promised to answer those who call out to Him. But even though some haven't fully embraced the truth because they just accepted the Lord, they can still receive their heart's desires. Though their hearts are only 30%, 50%, or 80% pure, they still have sins and evil, a lot. The percentage differs by person, but they receive answers. Even though would God meet us only when our purity is 100%? Even though we have shortcomings, even though we are pure 30% or 50%, we can meet God. We are allowed to meet God according to our measure of faith. It's likened to a parent not being able to give their child millions all at once, despite their wealth and love for him. Instead, they abundantly provide him with the school supplies or what he needs for personal development. The same way, when a new believer leads a diligent Christian life, God answers what they ask of him. As the child matures and acts according to the parent's will, he can receive whatever he requests. Once the child becomes an adult and his parents have wealth, and his child asks, "Father, I'm trying to run a business. Please, would you provide me with a business fund?" If the parents can trust his son, he would offer to give him a great amount of money because they trust him. That's why they can provide him with that fund. Similarly, when God's children have become fully sanctified and their faith has grown mature, they can receive answers to their desires and ask the Almighty God to manifest a great and a wondrous power. Even if your heart is not fully clean to the extent of your faith, you can still please God and receive His grace. As you earnestly pray, your desires, big and small, can be answered, and you can experience the living God through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including speaking in tongues. These experiences will give you the fullness of the Spirit and help you attain a pure heart. The blessing of "they shall see God" is partially fulfilled. But if you truly love God, you shouldn't settle for such childlike faith. You must do your best to cast off sin and quickly achieve sanctification, becoming children of mature faith who align with the Father's heart. When you do so, God is overjoyed. From the beginning, He spent an incalculable number of fears and sorrow and agony. For He has fulfilled the purpose of cultivating humanity through you, He allows you to experience His answers and blessings at every moment with His almighty power. The blessings of the pure, they see God. Even before fully achieve them, you can fulfill them little by little according to your measure of faith. Even when your faith is small, but if you perfectly make your heart clean and recover the image of God, God shares even His great power and pours His great answers and blessings. We have to become such members of Ma'amin. Let me conclude a message to your brothers and sisters. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit." perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having received the promises of salvation, resurrection, and blessings through our Lord Jesus Christ, we must cleanse our hearts of all uncleanliness and make ourselves pure. This is the key to fulfilling God's promises, who's promised to bless us numerous times. Today, some who claim to believe in God fail to receive blessings because they haven't achieved purity. If people who are impure in heart receive blessings, they commit more sins and distance themselves from God. Also, the enemy devil will bring accusation claiming that they receive blessings despite not having prepared a vessel. Unless we first achieve purity of the heart, God cannot bless us no matter how much He desires to. Sometimes, even when a person has accumulated much prayer and God informs him of how to be answered, he may fail to hear the voice of the Spirit, causing delays in answers. A pure heart allows you to see the Father's image and hear the Holy Spirit clearly. But as much as you have untruth in the heart, you involve fleshly thoughts which hinder you from hearing the Holy Spirit. If you listen to His voice and follow God's guidance, blessings and answers will come immediately. But as you act on your own, delays occur. I pray that you will cast off all uncleanliness and have a heart that is as pure and beautiful as crystal, being able to see God and clearly hear the Holy Spirit's voice. May you always live in answers and blessings, flourish like a tree planted by streams of water, and give glory to God in all things. I also pray in the name of the Lord that you will dwell in the holy city of New Jerusalem in heaven, see the Father, and sing praises before Him.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as they're so prosperous and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.